Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 417. Yes, the 417th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I hope everybody out there is having a fantastic time. We're trying to make this episode go as wonderfully and as cleanly as possible. Things may or may not happen along those lines, but this is considered the spring cleaning edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. There's lots of fun stuff going on in the world of Geekcraft, food and caffeinated bits, caffeine culture, and technology news. Not the least of which is, of course, the redesign of the Caffeination homepage over at www.caffeination.com. That is where you can find us in all of our caffeinated glory every single Sunday and Wednesday nights. So, we're trying a new look over there. It's not entirely done yet. There's a couple different things that I have to fix up, but the new logo is up. It's nice and bold. It's kind of what I was going for originally with the previous logo, and now I just have to, after I let it sit for I think about a week or so, get people's feedback, see what you think of the whole new design. I think it's a little bit simpler, it's a lot easier on the eyes, and hopefully it's gonna work out correctly. So we're trying to trudge along here, as the case may be. We have a lot of fun content to cover. We have some interesting highlights and things to showcase that have appeared on the Caffeination. We're gonna try a new way of actually writing some of the news blurbs and posts that you see over at caffeination.com. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else you'd like to throw my general direction, please feel free to phone us at 215-240-1319. It's a direct to voicemail line. You can rant, rave, moan, whatever you feel like doing, right into the thing. As long as you tell me whether or not it can be used on the podcast, I will then, of course, do that. Twitter.com/caffeination to tweet me up. Facebook fan page, just search for the Caffeination Podcast. You can subscribe via RSS, iTunes, Zoom, Stitcher, anything else that your little heart desires. Everything is listed over at the homepage. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and everybody is listed over in one loving place at techpodcasts.com. Last but most certainly not least, we are going to be introducing Puzzle Piece Productions, hopefully this week by the end of it. So if you head on over to Puzzle Piece Pro, you can see the last vestiges of the old homepage and how everything was over there. If you head on over to Puzzle Piece Pro next week, hopefully you're going to see a brand new spiffy WordPress site that has all of the same information that the current site has, except organized better, a little bit SEO and all that other fun stuff. All the any other anecdotes and anagrams and, you know, that we can think of to throw up there. So we're going to be growing that and the different fun little things that we have coming out about that. So this is, of course, the 417th edition here. There's so much fun stuff happening in the world that we would be remiss if we weren't to mention what is going on in the politics spectrum today. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay well out of the should they or should they not, and I'm just going to put two interesting observations, at least from my standpoint. As somebody who's just standing there and pretty much watching this whole thing go down, I gotta say there's two things that I've been struck with over this entire process from, let's just say, 12 years ago to now. The advent of rapid share technology with a certain level of anonymity has done two things. On the one hand, it has increased the ability for people of like minds to connect. And on the other hand, it has allowed those people to be much ruder to people they disagree with much quicker. So, people, be kind to one another is the least I could say here. I have seen so much nastiness going on from one side to the other and back and forth today that I think it's relatively disgusting. So, beyond that, you know, whoever, you know, go whoever you like, as the case may be. That's it. There's no massive political message or anything else ingrained inside the Caffeination Podcast. Do you want to know why? Because if you came here looking for political news, you would have been disappointed for another 416 editions, and we're not going to back down from that. You are only going to hear about caffeine culture and technology news, and since those two thoughts happen to strike me as a kind of a humanist way of looking at the technology that connects us all, that's the only reason I decided to talk about them. So, here we go. We have an interesting interesting little thing. The sponsor for today's show is me. I am sponsoring it, dang it. And we are going to be talking about a bunch of fun things that I like to do. Just remember, you can head on over to live.caffeination.com every Wednesday night at around 11 p.m. Eastern, and you will see a live version of this show. That's where I do all this and, dance and parade around as the case may be, depending on what happens, to try and create and craft a wonderful episode that is both entertaining to the people who are sitting there watching the different screencasts that come up, and informative to the people who listen there after the fact. The other thing is, if anybody out there has, let's just say, a blog that does not necessarily, jive with technology, but they still have the yearn to write for technology or something like that, we are accepting anybody who would like to give a hand at a guest post now and then if they would like to help out with the workload over at the Caffeination Podcast. I've been told by several different people that I should probably start branching out to volunteers, people who'd like to step up and hopefully either link back to their own ventures and their sites or whatever, but we just wanted to kind of put that out there. So if you're interested in taking some of the load on, please feel free to email me at caffeination@gmail.com. We generally take a wonderful and conversational tone with the things we do. Other than that, we're working towards getting a new sponsor. We're working towards everything setting up and working out as per usual. And we have a bunch of fun articles that we've posted up, relatively interesting little blurbs, so I just wanted to kind of run down them, then head on to the standard GeekCraft and Caffeination fun bits. First thing is the LHC is alive once more. Cue the bad accent and the lightning and the Frankenstein's monster and all that. But the LHC is alive. The Large Hadron Collider, the world's largest particle accelerator, has become live, and it's not even 2012. So the only thing I can think is that it's going to break at some point, and then we're going to have to restart it at 2012 in order to actually end the world. So I mean, beyond that, beyond anything like that, I can't imagine that. The funny thing about this is the world's largest machine. This is the largest man-made object ever. This thing is immense in its size and its power. It's supposed to recreate the experience of being there at the Big Bang. They're trying to look for something unfortunately named the God Particle, which is basically breaking down an atom to attempt to find the missing mass. If you really want to look at it, you could say, okay, let's just say an atom is made up of a couple neutrons, a couple electrons, a couple protons, and we weigh all these different little things. They're too minute to even eyeball, and you're going to weigh them. Okay, fine. You weigh all of them, and there's missing mass. It's okay, the atom weighs X amount, and all these things are X minus that amount. Hate to throw a little algebra in here, but that's what has to be done. Then, as they break things down, they find more and more mass in the subatomic particles, the quarks, the neutrinos, all the other fun things. The quarks are kind of funny, because they're there only when you expect them to be there. So that introduced things like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. For instance, you can look for things like electrons. Whenever you attempt to look for an electron in a specific place, it's never going to be there. However, in the completely opposite section, no matter where you look for a quark, there it is. It's kind of funny like that. So they're trying to get down to the Bose-Higson matter, which is what they call the God particle. Bose-Higson was either one or two people, I can't remember, who postulated upon the existence of these particular particles to make up the rest of the weight of the actual things. Well, every time the LHC in the good old EU fires up, it breaks its own world record for particle accelerators, for the energy achieved and all that other fun stuff. Well, this time, not only did it break its previous record when it broke itself, it actually tripled the previous record. This thing is so massive that by the time it gets up and firing, who knows, there might actually be a black hole under the Swiss Alps. It's going to be kind of fun to sit back and watch. That's all I got to say. Next little thing we have up for you here, also reported on over at caffeination.com, is steampunk computers. There's now a website called Old Time Computers. It's actually taking orders for wonderfully constructed old pieces of steampunk machinery. This is one of the few examples of a steampunk anything that I've ever seen that actually stays true to the design aesthetic throughout the entire thing. Yes, it is a computer, but the funny part about it is it's actually an Apple, what appears to be a Mac Mini. And it actually says, the Apple Computer Gearless Computing Device, which is exactly how somebody from the faux Victorian era would describe it, has a lovely copper and gold tone to everything, and has wood. Even the speaker is bare bones and just hanging out there as some kind of awesome little accoutrement. I mean, everything from a tiny little desk light over top the green felt mouse pad that houses a clockwork-like mouse, this thing is just downright delectable looking. They are probably going to be expensive, but you know what? If you have a little coin to throw throw around. That kind of thing is worth it. That is a conversation piece, people. All right, next little thing we got going for you here is remotely managed cars, social engineering at its finest. I have been warning people, especially my wife, about this time and time again. She loves the fact that OnStar, specifically, this is not a story about OnStar, so I don't want them coming down on me, but she loves the fact specifically that OnStar is touting that they can slow down any car to the point where a policeman can retrieve it if it's involved in some kind of high-speed chase and it was stolen. I, however, on the other hand, say that this is an incredibly dangerous power to give absolutely anybody. I don't care how many checks and balances you put into it. Any power that's given that's like absolute over one of those things can be and eventually will be abused. There was apparently a system called, let me see if I have this correct, there was a system called WebTech Plus that was installed in cars that were basically sold to people with less than reputable credit. This allowed the creditors to actually have the car beep uncontrollably when there was a bill due and they hadn't paid, so irritating them into paying, or it would allow them to disable the cars. Well, the people at WebTech Plus and the company that runs it actually fired somebody. He was not too happy about being fired. It was either that or one of the dealerships. I can't figure this out entirely. Well, they're calling him a hacker. All he really did was take somebody else's username and eventually figure out their password. He managed to disable 100 of these cars remotely. People with good credit in good standing. And you know what? As soon as I heard that, as soon as I was, if I was one of those people with less than stellar credit, I would immediately demand them to remove that system from my car. It's like, look, I trusted you. We entered into a trust-based relationship that I would continue to pay you even though I did not have a good track record of doing so, and you would continue to give me a workable car. Any car that has a kill switch in it remotely, they're saying that this one couldn't be used while the car is running, whereas the OnStar one can be used while it's running. Either way, that just rubs me in an entirely uncomfortable way. I don't ever want to own a car with OnStar in it. I don't know if that may actually come to pass or not, but still, it's just not a system I enjoy having. It's not a power I'm willing to cede to anybody else, you know? All right, next little item that we have for you is from over at Gizmodo. It's something called a FireGuard robot. Now, this is a concept robot, so we've seen something like this with demolitions and other things, but this is an entirely heat-proof robot with a camera on the front. It has very crazy kind of starfish-like wheels that it operates on instead of tracks or treads or anything like that. And the idea behind it is that it is supposed to be able to traverse different fired or burning environments that firemen have not been able to get through and hopefully report back to the firemen so that they can tell if there's somebody up there who needs to be rescued rather than trying to risk life and limb to get up there. This is a fantastic way to actually do that. Now, there's all kinds of fun robot jokes that you could make here, especially about the way the thing looks, but if this actually comes to fruition and gets down to a serviceable price point to where you would not necessarily be risking the device, you know, throwing it in there, like, you know, it could take a tumble, it could take an impact, it can take the heat and all that, then I think it's a relatively mindless task to just send this into a burning building, unless, of course, you hear somebody screaming. So the more people's lives we can save, especially the firefighters who are willing to actually do the unthinkable and run into a building while it's on fire, the better off everybody's going to be. So, I mean, between this, the bomb detection and removal robots and all the other ones that are out there, we're setting ourselves up for a really good cast of service robots. I just hope nobody takes the extra step and makes them sentient. You know what I mean? Because nobody in their right mind, not even a firefighter, runs into a building. You have to be just a little bit off the deep end. All right. Next little fun story we have is also from over at Gizmodo. This one's an SQL injection license plate. For those of you who don't understand any of what that means, basically the world is run on databases and you didn't even know it yet. Databases all work off the little fun commands that are basically SQL. I cannot write SQL. I can, however, read some of it. It's kind of like I can't really speak German very well, but I can understand it if it's written in front of me and sort of understand it if it's spoken directly towards me. But the idea behind this is that as you go through a red light camera, it takes a picture, then processes the text that's on there, runs it through a database, and sends you your wonderful ticket if you are, of course, in violation of one of the terms. And since everything's a relational database in this world that we live in right now, this person driving over in Europe actually put an entire huge, it says ZU0666, and then it has a bunch of commands. It says drop database table, and then it ends it off. So if this were to run, it would actually drop the entire table of the offending vehicles, or if they had actually done it correctly, if the people who were programming this had actually done it correctly, it wouldn't do anything. It would just register as a faulty input, and eventually the person would get pulled over for not actually having their license plate visible, which I think is kind of funny. And that brings us to a wonderful old XKCD things, and where it's a four little comic strip that says, "Hi, this is your son's school. We're having some computer trouble. Oh dear, did he break something? Well, in a way, did you really name your son Robert --? Drop table students --? Yes, we call him Little Bobby Tables. Well, we've lost this year's student records. I hope you're happy. And I hope you've learned to sanitize your database inputs. Basically, anytime you are willing to accept an input from a user or anything else in a uncontrolled field, you need to kind of run through and make sure that it was all well and good." So I love that. I love certain XKCDs. I think they're absolutely hilarious. And if you have a little bit of geek in you, then that's one of the ones that really just strikes a chord with you. Another fun, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful, I cannot heap enough adjectives upon this comic strip that I absolutely am in love with, also because I have an iguana, is Foxtrot by Bill Ahmed. Now, this is a beautiful little thing. It's basically the youngest of the characters attempting to get a comic strip onto the iPad, and it says, "Superman, the iPad is going to be the future of comics. It's going to save you. Spider-Man, this is the iPad. It's going to be the future of comics. It's going to save you. Hulk, this is the iPad. It's going to be the future of comics. It's going to save you." Then it has the Flash. It says, "Sorry, Flash, you're out of luck." So this is Steve Jobs talking to a veritable plethora of different superheroes, and it has the characters sitting there saying, "I don't think you're actually going to get this one on the iPad." So I just thought that was hilarious. It's wonderful, and it kind of really speaks to how people kind of perceive Apple, if you really want to think about it. People are very reverential of them on certain aspects, but on the other hand, they kind of realize that they're a little bit of a tyrant about others, so it's all in good fun. And it brings me to a wonderful little thing, which is actually an affiliate link. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can click on any one of the banner ads or anything that are floating around the site, or you can do your searching over at the Amazon.com widget on the side. But this happens to be an affiliate link, just, you know, in the efforts of full disclosure. It's Math, Science, and Unix Underpants. This is a collection of the past 20 years of Foxtrot comics, but Bill actually went through and parsed all of the really geeky ones out and removed them, so it's an entirely themed collection of beautiful fun little comics. So I had to share this because, as a geek, there's really no other fantastic comic like this that has been around nearly as long. So, you know, hats off to Bill, and I hope this sells well, and I really want to tell people that I'm probably going to find a way to go out and get this after my birthday, all right? All right, next little bit of news that we got coming right at you is finally USB storage is coming to an Xbox 360 near you. And this is a little bit of dig at Xbox. For the longest time, you had to buy one of their little funky memory units if you wanted to transfer content from machine to machine, or you had to pay for one of their overpriced hard drives. So now if you have a USB thumbstick that's over 2 gigs but under 32 gigs, then you're going to be able to transfer content as if it was an external hard drive. So it's actually going to start using things as external hard drives. This is going to be fantastic. That means that when my brother-in-law comes over, he can just pop his profile onto a USB stick rather than attempting to go out and buy a memory card or having to recover his username from console to console every time he wanted to play. This is a really good thing, and I'm kind of upset that Microsoft hasn't done this yet, but overall the concept there, the console works so well that I'm kind of willing to let bygones be bygones, as long as they kind of keep pushing this kind of innovation out there. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what else comes out for the Xbox 360 in the next couple months, because I also think they're coming out with a slimmer version of it, so who knows what that's going to entail and what they're going to remove for that one. Next little thing that we got up for you here is Grandma has you in her sights. There's a funny little decal that you can stick on the back of your door that actually duplicates a rifle with a scope on it. And the funny thing is the eye of the scope is actually the peephole through which you would look through your front door. So they have a really funny picture of a grandma looking through what appears to be a tiny little black rifle. I had to put it up there because I think it's hilarious. I'm pretty sure there's so many other things that you could probably do with that peephole, but if If you live in the UK, it appears to be almost be €6, so it's not shipping included. I don't know if they ship to the United States, because I kind of think this would be a fun thing to put on the door. Although I'm probably not going to do that, because I don't think the wife would approve, but I think it's pretty funny. I just wanted to pass it along. All right, and the last little link that we had for you here in the GeekCraft section at the Caffeination Podcast is, of course, a wonderful piece of steampunk goodness. This is a steampunk Harley. This is a beautiful rendition of a Harley motorcycle that has been West Coast custom, whatever you want to do, into an incredibly extended, sleek, beautiful, bronzed out version of a Harley. It has leather, it has studs, it has everything is reconstituted into a different kind of motorcycle than you would ever imagine. It's down to the fact that there's not a piece of chrome on it. Every single piece that you see is either black. I don't seem to think there's any wood on it, because it doesn't seem to look like there is. But everything is either black or what appears to be like bronze. So I just love it. I don't think that there's a more perfect example of what a steampunk bike would look like. I think they could probably have used a little bit more copper tubing or something like that. Maybe little wood accents on things. But overall, this thing has to sit out in the elements, so it appears to be an incredibly sleekly designed, awesome bike. I just hope that sometime in the future, somebody can actually cobble all of these different pieces of minutia together and actually make a really fantastic steampunk movie. The closest we've had to like a steampunk aesthetic in the movies is actually like Firefly, and that's nothing to do with steampunk at all. It has the same kind of like archaic aesthetic to it overall, kind of in a different time period. That was like a space western, and this is more of a modern Victorian era. So I just think it was kind of awesome, so I wanted to pass it along. That about wraps it up for the GeekCraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, diving headfirst into the food and caffeinated bitses. The first thing we have is a wonderful little article I put out there. It's called the CD Spindle Bagel Holder. That's exactly what it is. This is articles from it's over at device.com. It's, have you ever thought of different pieces of Tupperware and containers that you could use to carry your lunch in? About using a CD spindle, an empty CD spindle, to house a bagel. So anything you wanted to put on it, lock it down, tighten it up, and it's a way to reduce, reuse, and recycle. So you can run it through the dishwasher. It's already existent in your collection of junk that keeps piling up. So it's perfect. I can't think of a more perfect example of a wonderful piece of technology cruft being turned into something beautiful. This is really an easy no-brainer. If Tupperware had thought of this already, if Tupperware hadn't thought of this really, I would be surprised, but I it's just astounding. All right, now next thing that we have up for you here, I very rarely quote Manlaw here on this episode, but Manlaw dictates that you need this dual-use remote. This is actually a universal remote that has a bottle opener on the one side. So if you are the stereotypical male, then you too can get the clicker, and it has a bottle opener on the side. I don't even know what else that you need to really know about it. Unfortunately, there's no price as of yet listed, but there's all kinds of fun specifications. You can learn functions, you can one-touch system controls, and it has a bottle opener. And of course, they have the please drink responsibly, because anytime you show alcohol, apparently you have to put that up there. So even if you're not attempting to drink responsibly, although I suggest you do as well, you too can change channels with reckless abandon. All right, next little item we have for you is over at the 7gadgets.com website, and it's a wonderful little bit of nostalgia. It's a Rubik's Cube table. I don't even know where to begin. Imagine exactly what that would look like, full-sized with a set of Glenfiddich on top of it. I personally would have chosen Glenlivet, but it has free delivery. If you feel like paying £449, then you too can do it. I don't think they offer international shipping on this one either, but it is beautiful. This thing is, of course, being a cube, it is 600 millimeters across, up, down, left, right, back, and front, and which equates to roughly almost 2 feet of table space. And the only thing that I'm sitting there looking at it, all the different little cubes that are in there, and the fact that each one's probably 200 by 200, I'm looking at it and going, I don't know if that's an incredibly small bottle of Glenfiddich, or I just have a bad mind for scale on this one. It just looks like either the bottle is really small or the table is being misreported in its size. But either way, if you have roughly $600, then you two can can own your very own Rubik's Cube table, or you can just buy a regular table and paint it to look like one. All right, and the last little bit of fun that we have for you here in the Caffeination Podcast is the Contigo is still the best travel mug around. I don't know why everybody is starting to report on this as well so much recently. I've seen so many other different articles that are reporting on this that I kind of just had to go back to my own little article on it, because it is really the best travel mug I have ever used, bar none. This thing was a Christmas present from my aunt, and it is literally the thing that I can fill full of hot steaming coffee. It'll stay hot for several hours. I can throw it in a bag and not worry about it spilling. It's one of the few items that I consider an essential. This is Caffeination Essentials, the travel mug. It's a the Contigo Auto Seal is a beautiful, you know, regular like 2-cup coffee, standard size travel mug. Fits in all the wonderful little bits of cup holder that are out there, and just does everything that it's supposed to do. So. It's a little bit on the expensive side, but you got to say, you know what, for the quality and the that you're looking for, it's worth it, unbelievably so. It's $17.99, so that, of course, in that article is also an affiliate link, but it's heading on over to Amazon. If you can find it cheaper elsewhere, go for it. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can buy it through there as well, but that's the kind of thing that we're going to be trying to showcase every now and then. I'm not going to, you know, swamp you under with those type things, but I just wanted to kind of make you aware when they actually do to appear. But thank you ever so much for sticking around. This has been a little bit of a short shrift edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Got so much to do to actually get ready for the week ahead that I just really wanted to get to the interesting and fun tech out there. There was so much other stuff floating around in the news today that a lot of the really good tech either got slowed down or snowed under. Do you know why? Because this was a beautiful weekend. And do you know why this was a beautiful weekend? Because it was the first day of spring here in the Northeast and pretty much everywhere else on the Northern Hemisphere. It's the first day of fall and everywhere in the Southern Hemisphere, so enjoy the winter, you folks. We're done with ours. But if you live in the Philadelphia area, then Rita's Water Ice happened to have their annual first day of spring free water ice giveaway. I'm amazed when I find people in Philadelphia who still do not know about the free water ice. And the funny thing is, the water ice stand that I particularly have been going to since I was, you know, a little kid in, like, Little League, you know, my parents used to take me to this one specific one out on Route 13, and that's always where we went. It was either there or the one that was in the shopping mall near the baseball fields. That was every time without fail. And as long as I can remember, you know, going back a ways, this is always where we went. I just found out yesterday, actually, that the location that we frequented the most is actually the original location of Rita's Water Ice. It's actually right across from the Woodhaven Mall, if you're familiar with the area. And it's just, it's unbelievable to find out that that's the original Rita's. And that experience has spread since 1984. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, they're wonderful, and you already know it. If you're not in the Philadelphia area and you happen to stop by, you have to try it out. All right, that about wraps it up here today for the Caffeination number 417, the spring cleaning edition, knocking the cobwebs out. And by the way, knock on wood, doesn't seem to be any headaches right now. So that's what we're going with. It's been 2 days so far, so I think this round of migraines for the first time since I was 17 is actually beaten. All right, so thank you ever so much for listening. Just remember, if you're looking for this show, it can be found over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you weren't playing along at home. And if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you too can find them over at caffeination, or you can email them, rather, to caffeination@gmail.com. We are at twitter.com/caffeination, Facebook fan page, just search for The Caffeination Podcast. And if you have a phone and you know how to use it, feel free to dial us up at 215-240-1319. All right, thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.